so soon.
I've been trying all night long just to talk to you.
Eric Clapton and Lay Down Sally. It is 12 minutes past nine. Coming up after the break, we're going to be chatting to Anthony Just, the co-founder of Marine Inspirations, based in Mallorca.
Wake up with her, Anna Murray.
Talk Radio Europe.
Wake up. Wake up. Wake up with Hannah.
Good morning. It's just coming up to 9:15. With us on the line now from Mallorca is Anthony Just. He is the co-founder of Marine Inspirations. The idea behind Marine Inspirations is to sponsor young, underprivileged South African students and fly them overseas to introduce them to the world of international sailing. The idea is to show them the many varied aspects of the industry and the potential available to them. They are based in Mallorca. Welcome to the show, Anthony.
Good morning, Hannah. Thanks very much for having me here.
Ah, pleasure. It's lovely to chat with you. So tell me a little bit about the beginning of how this all started, because I know you were friends with your co-founder Phil, and you were just chatting and realised you had a very similar background.
Absolutely. Well, Phil and I are both South African, and Phil left South Africa in the 1970s. He actually went to a maritime college in 1961 as a 16-year-old. I ironically went to the same college in 1981, so we come 20 years apart, but we ended up in the same industry, both as super yacht captains and as managers of yachts. I'd never actually met Phil. I'd heard about him. He's quite a famous sailor in the world. And we met 2 years ago at a lunch here in Mallorca, after a little bit of discussion and talking about what a wonderful experience we'd had and all the opportunities we'd had internationally. We started talking about what had happened to us and how we'd got to where we ended up. And it became obvious that the lucky chances that we'd had along the way should be shared with someone else.
Mm.
There's already, let's say, a group of Anglo-Saxon people who have fallen naturally into the industry, the Antipodeans, the Southern Africans. But there's also a group of people who are excluded just by circumstance from the kind of world and the life that we've experienced. So
yeah.
Our natural thing was to gravitate towards them and see how we could inspire that particular less advantaged community, let's say, around the world, not only in South Africa, but Southern Africa and other countries around the world where these are developing countries and those people don't have access.
So tell me about some of the amazing experiences that you have had that you want to share with others.
Well, the growth of the super yachting industry has been magnificent. In the 70s, when Phil started, the sailing industry was very rudimentary. Some crew even used to pay for their own fare and would work for free. When I came along, people were being paid in the 80s for cleaning yachts and working on yachts and learning to be engineers and navigators. And when one moves up into a captain's position on smaller yachts, when I say smaller, in the 10-meter, 20-meter, 30-meter range, you start taking on great responsibility and you start meeting very interesting, wealthy people. In the 80s and certainly in the 90s, super yachting came along. And super yacht is defined as a boat which is over 30 meters. By the time you get there, you're talking about extremely wealthy people and some very interesting charter guests, requests to sail to places around the world that one would never expect to visit.
Mm.
And both Phil and I, especially Phil from the adventure side of things, he's been to the South Pole, he's been to Alaska,
oh, wow,
sailed the Pacific, he's done all kinds of very interesting things. I was focused more on charter and the growth of that industry, which, as you know, being down in in my Bay Area. The yachts there are phenomenally huge now, and it's an industry of its own. But where we started, there was no industry as such, and captains like Phil and I, in our respective periods, with all of our other interesting colleagues and peers, we've had an interesting ride along the way.
So as a skipper then, have you had to learn so many different aspects with regards to the boat, not just how to navigate, but how to fix things, and you must know quite a lot.
Certainly, one of the biggest parts of the job is being a hotel manager and a diplomat. we've always had interesting people on board who've required the highest standards, the five-star concierge service that they would get in any hotel or resort, as well as fantastic foods and wines, so one becomes a wine enthusiast and buff. And at the same time, the show always has to go on, so when something falls apart on the boat, it's often the captain who has to push the rest of the crew aside and solve the problem and make sure that there are no delays or cancellations, or you're late for an appointment to pick some prince or someone like that up.
Mm.
So it's a very complex and diverse industry. And having gone through all of that ourselves in the growth of the industry, we realized that there's a breed of youngsters who have come on our coattails as such, but they're quite an exclusive and privileged bunch. There's a certain sense of entitlement amongst a certain generation, if I can put it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And there are other people in the world who have no access to that at all. They may get to sail at the local yacht club, or they might get to watch the boat sailing past along the coast, but they never have a chance to get on a plane, come to a place like Mallorca or Porto Banus or Ibiza and join in with the international yachting community and taste something of this, with the option of maybe choosing a career and studying and learning all the necessary things in order to become functionaries in this industry.
Yeah, it must be wonderful to be able to do this for people and to see their faces and excitement of being in the yachting industry.
Well, it certainly is. Coming from less advantaged communities, some of these people, maybe their grandfather or their great-grandfather was a ship's captain or a cook on a boat or an engineer working on a tug or something like that. So they may very well be in their blood. There might be some sense of being in the maritime. And when we bring them out, often for the first time on an aircraft, 16, 17, 18-year-olds, they arrive, they see our industry, they get very warmly welcomed by all of our peers, who in the last 2 years have been absolutely magnificent. We've been given invitations to people's private homes, sponsorship of airfares and things like that, rides on captains' yachts and owners' yachts, where they just say, this is the most wonderful thing. We're getting a chance to see another side of the world, and they're getting a chance to see our side of the world.
Yeah, fantastic. And with regards to being at sea, there are a lot of people who struggle with being at sea through seasickness. I'm guessing, obviously, you're not one of those people, but have you ever had any moments where you've been slightly scared?
Myself? I have been seasick from time to time. Usually it's when one has a deadline, have to get from A to B to pick up a charter or something like that, and the engine packs up, and one's upside down in the bilge, breathing diesel fumes and rolling around all over the place.
Oh, gosh.
But the show has to go on, so those are the things we learn. When we get these young kids, some of whom have never sailed or been to sea before, but who have a passion for that kind of potential future, we keep a healthy dose of seasick tablets, and we've had two out of the 13 who've been on board our boats in the Caribbean and here in the Med. We've had two who were not very well, but I have to say, 4 or 5 hours later, they were hauling sails and back on the helm and learning the ropes again. So seasickness has not been a problem, especially with youngsters. I think they adapt a lot quicker.
Yes. And are there any particular stretches of water which you have to be extra careful that are more, you know, well known for being more rough than others?
Well, the Mediterranean might be looked upon as being a pond, but there are some horrendous areas of the Med in certain times of year and season. The Aegean Sea can be awful around Greece. The Southern Tyrrhenian Sea can be absolutely horrendous. And one can have what appear to be Atlantic storms rolling through there. From Phil's point of view, being an adventure sailor in that way, he's been through a lot more rigorous sailing experiences. He was actually on Drum with Simon Le Bon's crew when the keel fell off during the Fastnet.
Oh, wow.
And so Phil's got a lot of stories to tell, and certainly to the kids who come along, they hold him in some awe.
Yes.
For the things he's done and the things he stories he can tell. He's also a great fisherman. So they come for a very interesting visit with us. They pick up all kinds of things. Our friends also take them out and show them their own parts of the industry. So if these people are providing crew uniform, let's say, then we ask the kids, where do you think crew uniform comes from? And they get a tour of the factory.
Oh, brilliant.
And shipyards have invited them to come and spend a day working with the shipyard team, how you haul boats out, how you paint the bottom, how you would change a generator in a hurry, all those kind of things. They're getting these multitudes of experiences thrown at them. And when they go home, they might decide to be a navigating officer, they might decide engineering is their bent, they might want to be a chef on a boat. So we give them a very broad touch of the whole industry and the adventure and the stories. And hopefully when they get back to their small village somewhere in Southern Africa or wherever they come from, they share with their communities and their peers their experiences and inspire something. That's the whole idea behind the name, Marine Inspirations. It's to inspire. And these kids may stay out of a future of drugs and crime and instead take another route that would normally not be available to them if they didn't know about this opportunity.
Yeah, fantastic. So are you finding then, because presumably going back to their villages that they come from, there isn't necessarily the opportunity to become a yacht captain or anything from the area that they come from. So are they tending to sort of relocate to areas like Cape Town or further afield?
Well, there are a number of institutions around the world, and there's some in the UK who are very well respected over the decades. But certainly in Southern Africa, there are two institutions. One of them has grown out of the kind of place that Phil and I went to. Phil was there as a merchant marine cadet at 16, doing his secondary school education, and at the same time learning maritime seamanship, navigation sciences, and those sort of subjects. I went there as a naval officer during national service in 1981, same school but under a different auspice. And that has grown into what is now called the Law Hill Maritime Center in Cape Town.
Okay.
And they take candidates. They have 135 or 140 students there at the moment. All of them are doing their secondary school final classes in English and maths and science, etc. But they're also doing two major subjects in the maritime. So that's one aspect of it. Kids can go there and enroll in a formal training, similar to what Phil and I did, and then come away to us for some practical experience and then move on to other apprenticeships with our colleagues on bigger boats, ultimately, when they finish their schooling. Or they can go to sailing schools, and the sailing school thing is more recreational and sporting orientated. But at the same time, those sailing schools are coming to us now and saying, could we send one or two kids along? These guys are really bright sparks.
Oh, great.
And so this last year, 2015, was fantastic because we'd already had four kids coming from Law Hill Maritime. So these are formal kids who wear a school uniform every day, and they're committed to becoming maritime people as such, whether it's engineering or navigation. And then we had a request from Sail Africa organization in Durban, who do a lot of wonderful work with mentoring less advantaged in the sailing world, and they said, could they send two kids along as well? So in October, we had four, two from one type of institution and two from the more formal.
Mm.
And they got on so well. The wonderful thing there was that at the end, once they'd gone home, one of our industry colleagues here who has a yacht consultancy management company, he looked at one of the guys from the sailing school and he asked us where that kid was going to be going in the future. And this 16-year-old was a real live wire. And so Richard turned around and said, well, I'll support his education at the formal college. So the kid, he's gone and he's changed his education. So he's doing another year. He's staying back a year. And he's doing 3 years down in Cape Town at the Law Hill. And I'm quite sure he'll be an admiral one day.
Yes. Oh, how wonderful. Incredible experience for you both and for these kids as well. If people want to find out more information or to get in touch with you, marineinspirations.org is the website. Anthony Just, thank you so much for joining us.
Wonderful, Hannah. Thanks for calling. And it's wonderful to have people from our industry and yourselves interested in what we're doing.
Oh, absolutely. It's great work. Thanks Anthony. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
TRE.